This podcast brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource for pilots and aircraft owners.
Hello, everyone. This is Paul Bert Riley reporting from Air Venture 2015 at Oshkosh, Wisconsin. I'm with Chris DaCosta of Swift Fuels. Chris, you've made an announcement here, or shortly you're going to make an announcement concerning distribution of a fuel, a 94-octane fuel. And right off, I'll ask you to explain the difference between this fuel and the fuel you've been working on for a number of years, which is a high-octane 100 low-lead replacement. This isn't quite that, so why don't you explain what the difference is.
Perfect. Thanks, Paul. Yes, the PAFI program that's been created, which is the coming together of the FAA and industry, is looking for a high-octane replacement fuel to replace 100 low-lead across the industry. And we have two fuels in that evaluation. They're all high-octane, which means in our case they're 102 motor-octane fuels. And the expectation is that those fuels will be evaluated for fleet-wide approval. The timetable of that master plan goes through 2018, as everyone knows. In fact, the FAA was here, I think, on Tuesday talking about that, and we're actively part of that program with two other oil companies that are participating. Swift has announced last Thursday that we're introducing a new fuel into the market. It's called an unleaded 94 motor octane fuel. It's an avgas, and we believe it fills the need for many lower octane aircraft who historically that would be the autogas fleet. We've teamed in a partnership with Todd Peterson, who's, by the way, he's here today, and all the autogas SDCs, but there's a class of aircraft that are 91 motor octane. In other words, they're not capable of using autogas, but they can use 91 motor octane, and so we've made a 94 motor octane fuel for them. Why 94? It's because it offers three additional motor octane. It's an anti-detonation safety measure. It just makes sure that those lower octane engines have an even higher margin of safety. It covers a larger swath of the fleet, the lower octane fleet. So this fuel works with light sport aircraft, mostly Rotax powered, but other engine makers have approved autogas, so that it'll work with that fuel. It works with 91 motor octane avgas aircraft that I mentioned, and there's a list of those that I can give you that would explain which aircraft fly. It's also all the autogas STC, the experimental aircraft that are rated for 94 octane and below. All of those types of aircraft can fly the fuel. There's kind of been a rule of thumb that's been stated by the industry for years, and I'm just going to quote it. People say 70% of the aircraft in the fleet can fly, but they consume 30% of the fuel, and 30% of the fleet can fly, but they consume 70% of the fuel. Some numbers like that. You've probably heard other people quote those terms. We believe a large number of the fleet can fly this 94 motor octane fuel. They don't consume that much of the total consumption of the fuel, but nevertheless, they thirst for lower octane fuel. Their engines were designed for lower octane fuel, and that's why we believe it's a path for them to choose. Now, when the PAFI program is finished after 2018, our expectation is the high octane fuel would ultimately envelop the full scope of the fleet, so they'd be back to a single fuel, assuming PAFI just selects one fuel. Maybe they'll select more than one. I don't know. So the expectation we have is that this would be a marketplace for the next 5 or 6 years that would tailor itself to this lower octane fleet. And if that fleet survives longer, it's kind of a market decision at that point.
Let me ask you on that point then, do you see a potential dual fuel market here?
I mean, there's a possibility of that. I really can't say. It really depends on the FAA and their desire and willingness to approve what they call fleet-wide. So they've used the word fleet-wide approval, but they've also qualified and said, well, as long as it's technically proper and feasible for all the aircraft to fly the higher octane fuel. And I frankly don't know what exactly that means, except that if there are exceptions, then some airplanes might choose to fly a different fuel or not fly. So, you know, whatever that means. I think this fuel, our 94 motor octane fuel, will fly a very large amount of the legacy fleet. There are certain warbirds, there are certain light sports, all light sports, and many other aircraft that are largely fleet aircraft in the industry that would appreciate this fuel.
If I have a certified airplane that requires 91 or 94, what do I need to burn this? In other words, legal approval?
So if you have an engine with a 91 motor octane rating, we'll just use that as an example, you wouldn't be qualified for an autogas SDC, so you'd have to buy an avgas SDC. Swift Fuels, in partnership with Todd Peterson, Peterson Aviation, we sell an avgas STC, and that can be looked. You can buy those on SwiftUnleaded.com, or you can go to SwiftFuels.com, which is our normal homepage, and you'll find an STC place there. And you go in there and you type in your aircraft make and model, and it'll direct you to where you can find the STCs.
And what do those STCs cost typically?
$3 a horsepower.
Three per horsepower. Okay. Let's talk about distribution and cost of this fuel. You mentioned that you've got it out initially to three airports. You want to expand that this year.
Yep.
What are those airports? Where do you expect the geographic expansion to go, and what is the cost?
Okay, so Swift has its eye on strategic markets in the marketplace. It's difficult to say that, answer that question right this second, but, you know, there's a huge demand for unleaded on the West Coast. There's a huge demand in fleet aircraft in the Southeast, like Florida. There's large demand in the Northeast that can't find autogas in particular. And I want to emphasize one comment about autogas that I didn't say, and that is autogas has a lot of quality issues around the nation. People have a hard time finding ethanol-free autogas, and they're having trouble finding quality autogas because what's called rec fuel, or people that take ethanol out of fuel, sell it in certain markets, and it's not provided as an aviation fuel, and it's certainly not commercially insured as an aviation fuel. So there's a lot of distribution issues with autogas that we do not envision we will have with our aviation gasoline. Our fuel has a higher motor octane, a year-round low vapor pressure, no gum-forming compounds, and it comes commercially insured as an aviation gasoline. So it's really a very high-quality just aviation gasoline for a lower octane engine, and it adds that extra 3 motor octane for a safety cushion on most of the 91 engines. So distribution plans that you asked, I can see us moving fuel into the West Coast, into the Southeast, into the Northeast, and around the Midwest, which we're in Indiana. We're working on arrangements with producers in different geographies. We're working on arrangements with distributors to make it an efficient, cost-efficient process to distribute around the country. It's, you know, we're small. We're taking baby steps right now. We appreciate people's patience, but I think this thing will pick up, and I think you'll find it in various selected markets around the country, certainly by the next flying season. Well, I mean, we're almost approaching a decrescendo this year. We got, 60 more days, 90 more days of good flying, but the next flying season, I would expect we're going gangbusters on this.
And cost?
It's priced. It's difficult to explain this question because everybody asked me that. I don't set the price that the pilot pays at the FBO. The FBO sets that price. What I have are the components that are largely based upon premium gasoline fuel components. Think in terms of those kind of prices. So anybody who buys premium gasoline at the pump can understand that number, some number in that range. We're nickels and dimes and maybe a quarter above some of those numbers to give you a sense of what it costs. But that's what gets passed through the distribution channels to the FBO, and then they effectively mark that up to whatever price they sell.
All right, let me rephrase the question. At where it's selling now, what's the price range you're seeing?
The people that are selling the fuel right now are selling it for between $4 and $4.25 at the airports that we know are selling it today, if that helps.
Okay. And we should mention, you did mention, but when we were discussing this before, this is a hydrocarbon fuel.
Absolutely.
Not the binary chemical fuel that the high-octane Swift fuel is.
Well, what you call the binary is also an all-hydrocarbon fuel. So all of our primary fuels at Swift are hydrocarbon fuels, which means that they're able to be made fully in a refinery from alkylates and hydrocarbons that are used in aviation gasoline and have been used in transportation fuels for decades. Our fuels do not contain exotic chemicals that are otherwise toxic or carcinogenic or whatever. Our fuels don't have that. Our hydrocarbon fuels are based on refinery production components. The low-octane fuel is, and the high-octane fuel is.
Okay, because originally, if correct me if I'm wrong, but the high-octane fuel was catalyzed from acetone. Is that still true or no?
No, that's not true. So, Swift has, in its legacy, has had a bio-based business part of our business. And I guess there's an element of truth and not truth in the way you ask the question. We have a technology that can be derived from biofuels, and bioacetone is one of the roots of what you just asked about. And yes, we can produce a bioaromatic from the bioacetone source, and we have the technology to do that. However, we are not using that technology for aviation gasoline because it's not commercially viable. So we abandon our efforts on that technology as it relates to avgas, We do have that technology in place for jet fuel and some other markets. We've done some work with Rolls-Royce Engines and with British Airways, and we've been our fuel in the, since you brought up the biofuel and biojet fuel, we have a biojet fuel component that has been evaluated by Rolls-Royce Engines and British Airways, and it's in the top four. There's four fuels that have been selected, and they're all equally equally evaluated as in their performance in some jet fuel performance tests that were done in England over the last two or three years. But as it relates to avgas, and particularly in the United States and Canada, we have no biofuel that's related to an acetone base that we're talking about at this time.
Okay, well, thanks very much for the update, Chris.
Okay, sure thing.
This is Paul Bertarelli reporting from Air Venture 2015. Thanks for listening.
This podcast brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource for pilots and aircraft owners.